Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody moves, anybody says anything, cut the boy's other eye out and feed it to his father, and then we'll stop. You can breathe. You can blink. You can cry. Hell, we're all gonna be doing that.
I was still a kid and moved here.
So
there's Beethoven and Mozart, yo.
Oh, if I could move to Vienna.
Where would you, if you could go anywhere, where would you want to go?
Germany.
Yeah.
But actually, many years later, my mom tells me that the assignments that she was unable to take, which kind of caused us to be transferred here, was eventually going to end with us being stationed and living in Germany.
Huh.
So I was this close.
Wow, isn't that weird how that happened?
So pissed. Man.
So this is what you're doing, and I know we got a little bit about you, the man, and I want to know about your work, as I'm sure a lot of these people do who have been able to, some of them listen to it, some of them not, but you see behind us the whole array of equipment that this man uses. Give us a little rundown, if you may, about how you would create an ensemble of musical masterpiece, if you will.
Well, basically what you do is you got to start off with a computer, and I would recommend a very good computer. This is an 8-core solid state, 3 hard drives. So I've got two 2 terabyte hard drives for my sound libraries, and subsequently when I have a file like the one you see before me, the audio, I can mix that. So nothing other than the program and the operating system sits on the main drive.
Sure.
Everything is sort of dispersed.
Now, what about this thing? What is this thing?
It's a computer screen.
Ha! True shame. But what is it? It looks like there's like, at first blush, it looked like a game of solitaire or something. And then I said, what?
It's a Cubase Pro.
Okay.
The called the DAW, the digital audio workstation that I use to create my music. So once you have a computer, you get yourself a hard an audio interface. I have the Steinberg UR44. Because I use Cubase, which is a Steinberg product, ultimately owned by Yamaha, I have a Yamaha MOX8 over there. That's for my more traditional composing over there. So once you have this, this allows you to connect things such as my guitar, which is actually, it ran away, it's over there somewhere, but my MIDI controller, which is this, my microphone.
Oh yeah, I saw that before.
Set up, and then of course I can then, you know, do what I need to do. It's got four plugins, basically. Mic, we've got 2 mic inserts, and then you got line instruments, and then I have additional stuff in the back here.
Holy man.
Those rank out to then these little bad boys. I paid a pretty penny for these. These are the Yamaha HS8.
They're great.
So
this is all very interesting, and I get that. And it's impressive, and you've made it somehow to work to your will. Now, also go out on these shows. So like, for instance, you did the local here in Milwaukee, and have you done other venues of any kind?
Not
as the Wilted?
Not as the Wilted. The September 17th show marked my first kind of getting out there as a performer. I'm not much of a performer. It's the curse of the musician, you know, stage fright, so on and so forth, but part of, you know, selling yourself and getting your music heard is getting out into a live environment. I mean, the internet is cool for everything that we can do. I can write my songs or my pieces, put them on SoundCloud or whatever, but people want to come and experience. And I know from experience that a great live show, you know, beats driving around at 3 o'clock in the morning, crying, you know, listening to your favorites, you know, Whitney Houston or Tony Braxton tracks.
Me,
this guy. So there's really nothing other than, and then the energy of the crowd's into it, you get more into it. So there really is this sort of give and take kind of relationship.
Okay, that is good to know. I'm very happy to be able to get to have more information from people. I got you for the next 20 minutes. And you out there, you go ahead. As you wear us, whatever you want. Boom, get your dumb.
Get her done.
347-989-8118. Feel free to call in and ask this man any questions, personal, private, professional, whatever. We'll take them all.
I would love private questions, like the really kind of absurd ones that have nothing to do with what's going on right now. And
please, don't be shy.
Sean, that doesn't mean you. I don't extend that to you, Sean.
Did you want to give us a little bit of a... Well, I can give you a... Give us a little... So a friend of mine up in Appleton, great guitarist, his name is Jeremy,
and I kind of give him a nod because back in 2003, you know, 2001 to 2003... we kind of came together and started making music. And it was really primitive back in that times, back in those times, rather. And so that kind of, I look at that as sort of my genesis, you know, where everything began. And we actually had called ourselves just Wilted.
Oh, okay. That's how that name came about.
Yep, and then we went to go pursue other things and, you know, like different directions, and it's always stayed with me. So I kept Wilted or No Wilted in various forms, and it's kind of like, you know, to nod to him. So this is actually a track of his that I've been kind of working on mixing. Now, he sent me over, that's what I love about the internet, he's recorded guitars. And, you know, his main idea for the track and what he was trying to accomplish. And then I go and I add all the orchestrations. I'll do the main mixes and add drums and other stuff
so
to
you,
it.
You got a versatile ability to do things.
I'm able to collab remotely. Because you have things like Google Drive where you can create files, you know, folders, and we can share, you know, the cloud, the server. So I can go then, I can extract that stuff off the internet, and then I can do what I need to do, and I can process and create everything here. So
those out there that were listening early in the beginning of the podcast, you listened to the song This Is the End, and what is it? Where would you bury the body at 10 inches? That's a question. You can answer it if you feel inclined, sir.
I don't know if I would. Dead Asian hookers are hard to come by nowadays, especially over here. And I'm sure there are a couple of them over in, you know, the eastern part of the world. But as far as here, I'd probably keep it. I might make some dinner. You know, I'd set it up at the kitchen and have a nice conversation. Watch Walking Dead.
Speaking of Walking Dead, I see you're a fan.
No. I'm a fan of Negan. I'm a fan of Negan.
Okay.
When Negan beat the hell out of those guys, it was...
I had to put him in the cameo in the beginning of the intro song because I knew you were such a fan of Negan.
I'm a huge fan of Negan. Negan is that I feel like somebody finally
get you
my
yes.
And put it into a show for joy.
Now, these people, if they want to see or listen to you, you mentioned the venues aren't as not right now. We're working on that. We get more venues.
Wilted isn't necessarily what I would consider to be popular music in that it's not, you know, top 40 kind of stuff.
And that was part of what I was curious about, is because I don't want to say your music is dark per se, but it's got a little bit of an undertone of you know, the back of your mind in my perspective, in my way I would put it. It's like that place where you didn't know existed or you don't visit often. Now, how would you describe
that? I don't typically try to, quantify what I make. It does all sort of have this arcing sort of, I guess you could say, dark or melancholic or even at times very aggressive kind of feeling there. Yeah. Dark.
Yeah, that's pretty much the word.
That's just what it is.
Now,
at the same time, I'd be wrong to say that I think that darkness necessarily means depression. Or I mean, we're dealing with these sort of subject matters of loss, and you know, either loss of faith, loss of someone you love, you know, maybe self-hatred. And I feel that these are universal. People don't necessarily, they don't want to deal with them.
Yeah.
I mean, we have an entire entertainment system that's based on people trying to escape their pain, whereas I feel that it's more therapeutic to confront it.
Oh.
And so a lot of what I do is very cathartic for me.
Influences.
As far as my influences
right.
are,
do you have any?
Oh, So, I mean, obviously, a lot of the great classical composers find their way, you know, and their sort of mark. Beethoven, obviously, can be a very impressive biography and collection of him. But Beethoven, as far as I'm a child of the 80s, so I love the electronic, I love the synth pop stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't know that at the other end of the 80s is where we start seeing industrial and dark wave, stuff like that. Started to the Skinny Puppy, Susie and the Banshees, stuff like that. This gothic sort of kind of rising up Depeche Mode, of course.
Yeah.
You can't be true goth and not love Depeche Mode. Or,
I know.
Or Bauhaus. You have to love Bauhaus. So The Cure, of course, everybody's got to love them. But, so that is, and then I got into metal, obviously.
Yeah.
A lot of European music, though, listening to a lot of bands from Norway, a lot of bands from Germany. And so they really, the Europeans have it right, man. I mean, Western musical tradition arose out of Europe, and they're still going strong with it. And so their idea, their concept of melody, harmonization, timbre, instrumentation is top-notch. And so I pull a lot from a lot of those kind of bands, Catatonia, Opeth, Evergrey, to name a few.
Yeah. You're very up on your bands and your time, so that's, I'm happy to hear that. It's great that somebody's so much into the music, especially those that have influenced them.
Yeah.
Do you ever, and I've asked this before, if there are any questions, I'm going to crown past.
Yeah.
Do you feel that you put some of your past in?
Ooh, that's a good question. Absolutely. Without question. I'm the kind of songwriter, composer, musician that if I'm not connected to whatever it is that I'm trying to create, then it's a roadblock. I can't proceed with it. So I have to pull from inspiration. It could be poetry. I have tons of anthologies and different things that, you know, poems throughout the years that have inspired me that are connected maybe with certain aspects of my past. But yeah, definitely everything that I've gone through influences what I do now.
Is it safe to say that you don't make anything just to appease the listening demands of others, like anybody who you
think not my, yeah, it's not my main concern. It is a concern. I think, I mean, the history of composing and musicians, at least from the Renaissance upward, was musicians were civil servants, basically. They served whatever aristocracy or feudal lordship that were in service to. So there was an expectation on them to create certain types of works and you know. So that tradition hasn't died. I mean, when I create something, I want people to like it.
Right.
But I have to appease the critic in me first, which is, do I like this? Is this? I always try to create music that I would want to listen to if I were not the creative factor behind it.
I got a great thing here. And this is a question I think some people might ask. And let's see if there's a question that's being asked here. I have respect for that. Open the minds. Appreciate all types of music. You can open your mind, your own sign, not path, therapy. So there's truth to that. Now, do you ever feel like if you weren't able to make, for whatever reason, your music popular, like we were talking about earlier about the top 40 pop and all that stuff, now, would you think somebody could do it, and would you be willing to allow them, as some people do for writing a lyrics, you know, and then somebody uses their lyrics or their creative abilities and then puts it into their presentation, and then all of a sudden you get like a Katy Perry or whatever the hell it is.
So you're saying somebody, you have an artist or maybe a singer or something, they may not necessarily write the music. I mean, I know that Katy Perry does have some...
But you know,
within her music,
yeah.
But yeah, I don't think she's...
Because somebody could take what you write, and they could, you know, in this day and age, someone could probably pop it out, sort of make it pop and, you know, cash it in. Would you be willing to do that if it meant you could, you know, make $1 million or something?
As long as it didn't, I'm really open to much of anything as far as collaboration, as far as people, you know, that would ultimately want to take something that I've done and...
So
maybe reinterpret it or whatever.
Okay. So you don't think you're devaluating yourself in that process? You don't think you're taking away from your, you know, authenticity as an artist?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
If there was somebody who was like, I would like you to write this kind of song, and that's a thing about musicians and composers, and I use the words, I know a lot of people think of them interchangeably, and they kind of are, but I don't necessarily think of them that way. But ultimately, if you should be well-versed in many different styles of music. Part of what we do and what we should hope to do is to have clientele who would want something. I mean, it's no different than like film composing. The director has an idea of what they want that score to sound like, and you have some creative freedom to move in that if you have a good director. Sometimes you have a lot of creative freedom. Sometimes you don't have a lot. Sometimes they're very much, this is what I want. And they'll play you something, you know, a Mahler symphony and say, this is what I want it to sound like. And that's, now you basically have to imitate Mahler. Mm-hmm. You don't really have that room and flexibility for personality as an artist. But that's, again, that kind of heralds back to what I was saying. As much as we are the independent and autonomous artistic beings, we are also here to enhance the lives of the people that would be so gracious as to listen to us and to purchase our music, to attend our shows, the support that we're doing. As much as I want to be, you know, fulfilled as an artist, I would like the listener to be as equally fulfilled as the person who now gets to respond to this piece of music that I've made. So, respect,
Jill.
Yeah.
So, yes, everybody, I have appreciated your questions, and I'm sure Mr. Grimm has as well. If you're still feeling like calling in, we got about 8 more minutes for this show. I do something, and I've done this before in the past, and most people know about this. Let's see if we got one more question here. Is that kind of like in reference to ICP?
Yeah, the whole Juggalo thing, you know, where they were like 15. I heard a little bit about that. Admittedly, I don't really follow. Great Malenko was a great album back in 98, 99,
or
something like that.
That
was a good album. But I never took them like that serious. And that's kind of insane.
I don't think they took themselves.
I think they were really good at marketing. That's one of those things. They knew how to market themselves.
Yeah.
And it took off. It's weird, I think, you know, a phenomenon to see what becomes popular, what doesn't. These social things. But I do want to hit that question. Power is people being classified as criminals because they like, you know, gangster rap or whatever like that. I mean, I used to listen to 3-6 Mafia, like the old 3-6 Mafia.
No.
Oh, I love them. Awesome. Was way on the West Coast, you know, hip hop and stuff like that. So, the guys that listen to black metal, that, you know, which I also listen to, all of a sudden being, you know, these church burning Satanists. And you're going to have people out there, I think, who can't appreciate the art for what it is. Or when you have a community like the Juggalos, where it's all these people coming together over this one icon, you know, the sort of family that they created, you're going to have idiots in there that are going to fuck it up. I mean, let's just be honest. And they're going to give that movement or whatever it is a bad name. And I think that it is presumptuous to call them criminals. I think call the people criminals who are criminals and let the people enjoy the fucking music and do whatever it is they want to do.
All right, everybody. Thank you for your questions. We have 5 minutes left, and I can't figure a better way to do it and have you play us something for our beautiful ears.
All right, so I'll play a little bit of this track that I'm working on for a friend of mine. Just kind of the music here that I've been working on here. A shout out to Jeremy Spano. I'm
Bottle.